Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cowboy Zone. I am Ashley Baker, and I have my co-host, Josh Vincent, with me. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing pretty well. How you doing, Ash?
I am pretty good. I am excited for this brand new show that we have so much ammo for you guys, and I am just excited. I just want to start and kick off the show just telling you guys a little bit about myself, and then Josh is going to tell you about himself. So I am Ashley Baker, as I first announced at the beginning of the show, and I'm currently the assistant social media manager with Fox Sports 1340 AM, and I am also the beat writer and one of the beat writer and reporters for the Dallas Cowboys. I also cover some NBA as well. That's just a quick overall of me. Josh, what do you want to tell the people about yourself, sir? This is Mr. All Access, everybody.
Well, I'm a four-year sports journalist veteran. I started out here in Chicago. I'm based in Chicago covering the Chicago Bulls, working closely with Derrick Rose. And then I joined the Fox Sports 1340 AM team over the summer. I actually covered the Washington Wizards for them back in Summer League. And then I became the Wizards beat writer and the Dallas Cowboys insider covering both the Wizards and the Cowboys. So it's great that we now have a show to talk about the best team in the National Football League. Perfect timing, right? So I definitely want to just give a quick shout out to everybody in North Texas that's tuning in, Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano, Arlington, Irving, everybody down there in North Texas that's rocking with us, everybody in Cowboys Nation from coast to coast. This is going to be a great show. You are in the Cowboy Zone with Ashley and myself, so this should be entertaining.
Absolutely. And just a quick story behind why we decided to do this show. I myself am a diehard Dallas fan. I've been a diehard Dallas fan since as long as I can remember. My mother is a huge Dallas fan, and I pretty much grew up with her yelling all the time about the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, it pretty much runs in my blood. She was born in Mineral Wells, Texas, which isn't that far from Dallas. So that's just her. And of course I grew up in that and I absolutely, you know, just love the Dallas Cowboys, but we definitely wanted to bring young and just a young, powerful voice for Cowboys Nation. I mean, that's what we're going to do here. We're going to, you know, tell it to you how it is. We're going to try to be, you know, as straight and realistic with you guys as possible. Although, you know, we root for Dallas, you know, there's going to be some things that we're going to say that you guys love and some things that we're going to say that you absolutely hate. But I promise you, it will definitely be worth your time. And we're just enthused about the Dallas Cowboys, especially since they are on this 8-game winning streak. Oh, my goodness. Did you picture this at the beginning of the year, Josh?
No, I did not. I mean, I grew up, I didn't necessarily grow up a Cowboys fan, but I'm originally from Arkansas, so anybody that knows anything about the Cowboys, Jerry Jones is our native. He's an Arkansan. So, of course, you know, we're surrounded by Cowboys Nation. We're a part of Cowboys Nation. And so when Tony Romo went down at the beginning of the season, or actually during preseason, Dak Prescott was doing his thing during preseason and things of that nature. So, I've been knowing and watching Dak for the past few years. I'm a big fan of the SEC, so watching him back down there in Mississippi State, down in Starksville, was great to see what he did. And I know he's always been a natural-born leader, and I've always believed in him, but I did not expect this. As you mentioned, the only team that can say they were on the winning end of the Dallas Cowboys are the New York Giants, and where are they now? Who knows? But that's the only team that can say, hey, we went down to Texas and we beat the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody else, whether it was on a road or whether it was AT&T Stadium, they have all been defeated by this rookie combination, that powerful offensive line. No. So to answer your question, I did not see this coming, but I can say it's great for the National Football League, all things considered. It's definitely great.
Right, and same thing with me. Tony Romo went out in that third preseason game. And when I saw him go down, the first thing I thought was, oh, my God, not again, which I'm pretty sure most of Cowboys Nation, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody echoed those same words when it happened. And, you know, initially I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, he'll just be out a couple of weeks. And, you know, because Dak was playing so well, I was kind of like, oh, my goodness, not again. But at the same time, I was like, but Dax has been playing so well. So I was, you know, a little nervous about it. But then when I heard that he was going to be out, you know, potentially, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, that's when I was just like, you know, we're just going to see how this young bull does. And, you know, he has not disappointed, man. He really hasn't disappointed. And it's just been great to see, again, like you said, the combination of him and Zeke, both being rookies and just running this team and carrying this team on their backs is really, you know, something that's just special. So that puts me in yesterday's game mode. One against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think most people on the stats, Dallas was supposed to win that game. You know, the Steelers have been playing well. Big Ben is still, you know, was coming off of that injury, that, you know, a knee injury he had. On paper, Dallas was supposed to win that game, but you still have it in the back of your mind, like, okay, well, Dallas is always supposed to win certain games, and then they drop those games. So with that being said, the fact that they came back and, man, just blow after blow, the Steelers tried to deliver, and they came back each and every time. I mean, I can't say enough about Ezekiel Elliott. I just can't say enough about him and what he does. Would you consider, I mean, who would you pick for Rookie of the Year and MVP when it comes to Dax and Zeke? Who gets the award?
It's so hard, Ashley. It's so hard. I mean, it's one of those, it's like peanut butter and jelly. It's like milk and cereal. It's like one without the other. You just can't have it, right? Like,
That's true.
It's like grits and butter. Like, you gotta have it, right? So that's my thing. That's my thing.
I don't necessarily need butter in my grits.
Okay.
You know
all right, I got a better one for you. Everybody gonna relate to this. You can't go down south without stopping at the Waffle House. It's one of those things where, like,
that's true.
You gotta have it. So Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, I mean, I'm biased. I'll straight out admit it. Like, if you gave me a ballot to vote, I'm voting Dak Prescott down the ballot. But at the same time, Ezekiel Elliott has done his thing. So for me, if you were to say, Josh, who are you giving up? I'll give MVP to Ezekiel, and I give Rookie of the Year to Dak Prescott. That's the way I cut it, you know. But if it was up to me, like if you said, Joshua, you get the vote and only you get the vote, Dak Prescott winning everything. He's winning the Super Bowl. He's winning the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, he's winning it all because, I mean, nobody expected this, Ash. Let me just go on a little tangent for a second. Dak Prescott is a fourth-round rookie out of Mississippi State. And not to belittle him.
That's right.
But he was not supposed to be a household name. And I just wrote about this. It's up there on
that's
the page.
True.
I just wrote about this on Fox Sports 1340 AM. Check it out. Dak Prescott was not supposed to be a household name. He's not supposed to be somebody we're discussing at this moment. He was supposed to be some person that was behind Tony Romo that you just saw randomly when the camera panned over to the sideline. He was just, that's Dak Prescott. That's who he was supposed to be. This guy has been the headliner, the showstopper. He has been all of that. Every time post-game, Dak Prescott is at the podium. This is a fourth-round rookie out of Mississippi State. That's
fourth
who
round
he
rookie.
Is. And
fourth-round rookie. And he went 22 of 32, 319 yards, 2 touchdowns last night, yesterday.
I mean, woo. Look, this is a stat line for all 9 games. He has completed 187 of his passes out of 280 attempts. That's about 66.8% on 2,339 yards with 14 touchdowns. And the crazy part is he knows who's on his team. He only threw 2 interceptions, 2. It's some quarterbacks that throw 2 or 3 per game. He's only thrown 2 in 9 games. So it's like he knows what color jersey his teammates are wearing. I'm saying all of that to say, I'm really glad that it's now official. We reported on it. Everybody back in North Texas reported on it, that, you know, Dak Prescott will get the start against the Baltimore Ravens, one of the Beltway area teams. We'll be there live, Fox Sports 1340 AM. Dak Prescott will be the starter, and Tony Romo is expected to be back, but he will be the backup. And I'm glad that Jerry Jones finally, you know, came on the bandwagon. And you got to ride with the high hand because, Ash, as you know, Jerry Jones is the one that started this whole dilemma. You know, Cowboys
exactly.
Nation, we were
yeah.
fine. They were fine
yep.
with, okay, Dak Prescott doing this thing. But, no,
yep.
Jerry Jones, he was the one in San Francisco that said, hey, I don't care. Well, I'm just paraphrasing. I don't care
right.
how great.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's the thing about Jerry Jones that I'm just going to say out there. First of all, we all know that he's a ride or die kind of guy, when it's,
yes.
especially when he wants to make his point proven. And his point proven is, I gave Tony Romo $106 million a couple of years ago. I'm going to show y'all why I gave him $106 million a couple of years ago. Whatever it
right.
takes, y'all are going to see that this is my plan. This is what I did. And Jerry knew 3 or 4 games ago that
yeah.
Dax was the hot hand. He knew 3 or 4 games ago that you don't want to mess up any kind of chemistry. He knew that, you know what I mean? But of course,
sure.
and this is just what it is, Cowboys Nation, you know, nobody's, you know, bashing Dallas. So that is not what this show is for. But Jerry Jones loves the limelight, honey. He loves
oh,
the limelight.
Does.
So whatever
oh,
it takes to keep his team in the limelight, whatever it takes, whatever he needs, any type of dilemma. And this is a good dilemma. This is a good dilemma. Before we get into that, though, because I definitely want to talk about, you know, the Tony Romo, Dak Prescott thing. If I had to do Rookie of the Year and MVP, I would have to say Zeke would actually be, because that
okay.
bus that is the Dallas Cowboys, that does not move without him.
Oh,
I mean, we
sure.
saw how successful.
I
mean, now the offensive line is just what it is. Amazing, best offensive line in all of NFL. We saw what they did with DeMarco Murray back in 2014. So we know what we're getting with the offensive line. But his ability to see those holes, that offensive line means nothing if you can't get through the holes, if you can't find the holes, if you can't follow behind your alignment. That the offensive line means nothing if you don't have that type of vision. So Zeke definitely has that kind of vision. Dak Prescott, I would definitely give him a Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
As far as Tony and he is concerned, though,
yeah,
again,
yeah.
I am happy that they have announced Tony as being the backup quarterback. If I had the opportunity to talk to Dak, I would tell him, you should be relieved, because they preach week in and week out, this is a team game. It's all about the team. You know, it's all about winning, and that's what we're trying to do, win ball games. If
yeah.
I was in Dak's position, being as great as a quarterback as he's been all season, kind of knowing that if I do have an off couple of games, but kind of knowing that if Tony has to come in, I had that option as Tony Romo coming as my backup. I got us 8-1. If this boy starts to mess up, for the next 2 or 3 games, he can always say, I got us to 8-1. And I
oh,
don't
yeah.
feel like it's a problem if Tony needs to come in later in the season to, I mean, again, as I mentioned, Dak Prescott had like a 300-yard game yesterday. But I'm talking
yeah.
about, you, sometimes you need that gunslinger in there that can give you 400 yards. And that is going to be a necessity going into the playoffs. So I definitely, I don't see anything wrong with us having, well, Cowboys having 2 quarterbacks. They can just
hey,
do great things. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you sound like Jerry Jones now, because Jerry Jones said that earlier in the season. He said, hey, this is a great problem to have, right? To have
yeah.
2 great quarterbacks in the playoffs. Now, he said this back in week 3, and, you know, us, we were all there in the media circle like, what? Playoffs? What are you talking about? Okay, it's just week 3. Calm down, Jerry. But, hey, he saw something we didn't see, because the Cowboys are now 8-1. So, yeah, I agree with you. When you look across the league, right? The Cowboys could be in so many other terrible quarterback situations, right? Look at Chicago,
yeah.
Jay Cutler. We don't know what's going on with them, right? You got Brian Hoyer, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler, I had the high point touch, turnovers yesterday. Like, so you could be in a worse situation. You could be one of those teams that's looking for a quarterback. You could be up there in Green Bay, right, with Aaron Rodgers. We don't know what's going on with the Packers. They're on the losing streak.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? You could have a Minnesota Vikings issue, right? Teddy Bridgewater, didn't he, like, tear his ACL and meniscus all at the same time, and we don't know when his return is? So I agree with you. And Jerry Jones, this is a great problem to have. Okay, hey, Dak Prescott, let's say he goes out there, he's just having an off game, right? He's throwing interceptions left or right, he's getting sacked, he's fumbling the ball. Cool, bring in Tony Romo. Tony Romo, as you just mentioned, is that gunslinger. He can go down and do what he needs to do. So if you're a Cowboys fan, this is a great problem to have. The only time that this problem is going to come to a collision course is after the season. As far as they go, whether it's deep in the playoffs or possibly winning the Super Bowl, that's still yet to be seen. But after the fact, if Dak Prescott continues to play at an elite level and Tony Romo is owed all this money, if you're Jerry Jones, you are a Romo loyalist. That's what I called him in my piece. What do you do? That's when things become an issue. But we're a long ways from that. I mean, what, we're at week 9 or something like that? Yeah, we're a long ways from that.
And that was my entire issue. To me, there's never been a dilemma. In my eyes, there's never been a dilemma. You ride the hot hand. You ride the hot hand, and at some point, you know, people say this in a bad way. At some point, you're going to see Tony Romo on the field. There are just certain aspects of the postseason. And again, Dak, he has been shocking everybody all season. I am not completely saying that it's going to be something that trips him up or anything like that. People have been waiting for this boy to trip, really, for 9 games.
They have been.
In all honesty, Dallas should be 9-0. You know what I mean? We're not going to talk about call. You know, Mr. Terrence Williams not getting out of bounds. But, you know, in all actuality, they should be 9-0. So this boy really has been doing his thing for 9 weeks straight. So I'm not necessarily saying that he's going to have a hiccup or anything like that. But there's going to be a point in time when the Dallas Cowboys start to make that playoff push and start to make that NFC championship push and make make that Super Bowl push, where you're going to need more than just that rookie. And I have seen clips floating all over the internet where they'll have like a photo, like video of Tony Romo, and you'll see him on the sideline mouthing. He's counting the defenders in the box, and he'll make a face where he know the play is gonna fail, and it fails. And that's the kind of experience that we could be missing with him being on the sideline. And that's
for
what
sure.
you're gonna need when you're going to make these deep runs into the playoffs. So to me, again, there's never really been a dilemma. You ride the high hand, but at some point, it's okay in knowing that when this team is healthy, when this offensive line is playing the way it is, when we have a running back, Tony Romo did exactly what we're doing now in 2014. We ended the year 12-4, but he was great that year. He was great that year. So, again, in my mind, there's never really been much of a dilemma. We definitely have to talk about the other side of the ball, though. Pittsburgh decided to be 2-point conversion happy all of yesterday. I know that that's their identity. They've been doing it for like the last season or two, and they have been quite successful. I think at some point he probably should have, you know, reeled it in and just start kicking extra points, because those points that I think they went for 2-point conversions 4 times and he didn't convert. They didn't convert on any of those 2-point conversions. A lot of that credit has to go to the defense.
Got to give it to them. Got to give it
to them. This defense has been way better than we ever expected.
Agreed.
Would you agree? You agree with that?
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
It hurts. Mo Claiborne is out. Scandrick went out last night. But Sean Lee is a beast. He's tackling everything that moves. Doesn't matter. Don't let your kids run out on the field because Sean Lee may just take them down. He's a beast, you know.
Right.
Brandon Carr has been kind of holding his own. Listen, Antonio Brown last night had over 100 yards. I think 154 to be exact. And that's the first receiver that they have allowed to have over 100 yards on them. And they played some elite receivers. We played they played Odell Beckham. They had AJ Green, DeSean Jackson, and those boys in Washington. I mean, so he's played. They played some elite receivers, and this is the first guy. I mean, Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. He gonna do his thing.
He gonna eat.
You can kind of you know, but that. But this defense has really been keeping things in check for the most part.
That's what's so great about the Dallas Cowboys, right? And I'm not, and I know this is the Cowboys zone, and people are going to say, man, is there anything negative y'all can say? We're going to get to that. But yes, that's the one great thing about the Dallas Cowboys. They are hitting in all cylinders, whether it's special teams, as far as the kicking, you know, the field goal guy. He's out there kicking field goals. I think he's like the best kicker that they have in the NFL, for sure, when it comes to consistency rate.
Oh,
when
absolutely.
It comes to the defense, you're right. They stepped up. They stepped up in all those critical moments, right? You remember when the Cowboys played up in Green Bay a few weeks back? They contained Aaron Rodgers. They contained, you know. So it's like this defense has definitely stepped up when need be. That offensive line has stepped up. Dak Prescott, Zeke, we already talked about them. So that's the one great thing about the Cowboys. I think when you look at this team overall, if they can remain healthy, and you're right, some of those key guys back on the defense side come back. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be that person to jinx it. I don't want people to start calling us and sending us hate mail and say we jinxed the team. But
this our first show, guys. You don't want to do that on the first show. It's the first
show. Right. We don't, you know, because, you know, Texas, they'll let you know. They'll let you have
it.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I want people down in Mansfield calling up to the station like, hey, who is that guy y'all got on the station? Listen, I'm not trying to jinx it. I'm not going to say it, but I'm just going to say it without saying it. The Dallas Cowboys are the team to beat, in my personal opinion. It's as simple as cut and dry.
Now,
that's it.
What they have to do, and I don't have this actual stat in front of me, but they have to clean up the penalties.
Oh,
I don't know if it's because of being at Heinz Field. Yeah, they were, oh, man, the penalties were atrocious yesterday.
Yeah.
So that is the bad thing. Josh, yeah, we're going to get into the bad part. That is the bad thing about Dallas is they have to clean up the penalties. And once you can do that, I mean, this team is not turning the ball over. I do believe that the defense needs, more of a pass rush. I would like to see some of these quarterbacks go down a little more, and I would like to see more interceptions, and I would love to see more fumbles from this defense. But, again, the defense is holding up a lot more than anybody expected, and that is due to, in large part, Dallas just dominating time of possession in each of these games. Such a balanced – the attack is so balanced. The attack is so balanced, and so it's just really great to see. Let me ask you, Josh.
Oh, quick question, quick thing. I did pull up that stat for you. Yeah, they had 10 penalties that cost them 98 yards.
Yeah,
so
got to clean that.
Yeah, compared to
four
penalties and 40 yards on the Pittsburgh side. So yeah, you're absolutely correct. That penalty, you're not going to win games deep in the playoffs doing that kind of stuff, especially on the road. So back to you though. Yeah, that was kind of bad.
Clean it up. They'll clean it up. And again, as you just mentioned, when it comes to going deep into the playoffs, now let's just play make believe here.
Okay.
Let's say Dallas makes it to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Who do you have as their opponent coming out of the AFC?
Ooh. Again, this is a tough question. You got to look at the AFC West. You got to look at what Oakland is doing. You got to look at what the Broncos are doing. You got to look at what Kansas City is doing. They came back and defeated the Carolina Panthers, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. I mean, and then it's like by living where we live, we don't really get a chance to see those West Coast teams like that, on TV, on national TV. I would say right now, Of course you can't sleep on New England, obviously. That's a given. A lot of people want to say New England. But getting back to the West, I mean, I got to ride with Oakland.
Wow.
I'm riding with the Bay, right?
I mean, put off for the Bay.
Hey, how great would that be? Shout out to San Francisco. Shout out to Oakland. How great would that be? The same team that people was trying to move to Los Angeles just last year, the same team people trying to move to Las Vegas. How about they go to the Super Bowl? How about they bring the Super Bowl championship to the Bay? How about it? Some of the 49ers couldn't do. Some Colin Kaepernick couldn't do. So, no shade. I'm just, you know, just shouting out the Raider fans. You know,
that was kind of shady. That was kind of shady, but it's cool. It's cool. Listen, hey, we are going to throw shade on the show, and you're going to catch it, and you're even going to sit back with a glass of lemonade, or it is what it is. That's cool. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, again, like you said, trying to move that team out to, you know, L.A., and just imagine if they were doing this. And I think that could be a little bit what's fueling their fire, too. You know what I'm saying?
It could be
a little bit with fuel in their fire. So you're going with the Raiders. You're going with Oakland.
I'm going with the Raiders. Hey, everybody out in Oakland, build them a stadium. They about to go to the Super Bowl. Build them a stadium.
They might.
I'm rocking with the Raiders.
I, my friend, have a different mindset.
I figured you did. What's up?
Listen. You just can't talk AFC. Possibility of coming out of the AFC to go to the Super Bowl without giving more consideration to the Patriots than you did. You didn't even mention the Patriots. You didn't even talk about them. You didn't even mention the Patriots. I mean, you mentioned Denver. You gave the Patriots a little quick little breath. Do you understand what you just did? Listen.
Yeah.
Despite the loss to the Seahawks last night.
I was definitely about to throw that in your face. Yeah.
But that was one of those get back wins, you know. And I think the game ended on them stopping New England on the goal line. Of course it did. Just like that's how the Super Bowl ended with them.
New England
stopping them on the goal line. So whatever, it was made TV. That's how it was supposed to be. It's put must see TV.
All right.
Tom Brady is pissed.
Okay.
Again, like I said, despite the Seattle loss, he is hell bent, in my opinion, on making sure that Roger Goodell has to hand him that Lombardi trophy.
Ooh.
This is all stemming from Deflategate.
Oh yeah. I like where you went with that.
Listen, he put him through a lot of bull crap with this Deflategate. And again, the loss last night, it happened. This man is a man possessed. Again, like I said, he's still pissed. And an alert just came through earlier about Rob Gronkowski. He actually has a punctured lung. So let me put a disclaimer on that pick.
Okay.
Of course. In the event that they are healthy.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just put an asterisk. In the event that New England is healthy, I believe New England would come out of the AFC. And that would be America's team versus the Patriots in the Super Bowl for me. Oakland Super Bowl, I mean, come on now. That's definitely what America want to see. Dallas versus the Raiders, come on now. But I don't think America would have a problem seeing the Patriots either.
I feel you. I mean, yes, let's give it to Mr. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
Let's put some respect on it.
I got to. My fault. Yes, Mr. 16,000 yards this season with 12 touchdowns and only one interception. Shout out to Thomas. Yes.
That's right.
Chiefs making the Patriots great again. Yeah, I feel it. But the point that I want to point out is that I just look at it like this. Either way, you can't go wrong. But I guess when you talk about in terms of ratings and things of that nature, it would be great to see Tom Brady versus possibly Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, Tony Romo there somewhere in the wing, somewhere around. It would be great when you just think about the similarities in what Dak Prescott has accomplished and what Tom Brady has accomplished back when he was a rookie. I think they have a similar route, right? If I'm not mistaken, Brady was drafted in, the sixth round, if I'm not mistaken. So he
200th overall pick.
Yeah, he was drafted pretty late, didn't really get a start, but then he ended up, playing very, very well, and he pushed out a veteran. And then that's when he got the reins to where he's at today. And that's similar to what we're seeing down there in North Texas with Dak Prescott and company. So I think storyline-wise, yeah, that'd be great. I think for the city of Oakland and the Bay Area, that'd be great if the Raiders made it. It'd be great to see Denver back in as well. Kansas City, right? I mean, they're doing pretty well. Now, as far as ratings go, I think it's only like 30 people in Kansas City, so I don't know how many people that have watching the game. But the point that I'm making is that when it comes to the NFC, I'm sold on the Dallas Cowboys. I know there are a few teams that you can't sleep on in the NFC. You know, you still got the Seahawks out there somewhere. You still got, you can't really sleep on the NFC North. I mean, you know, I don't know what the Vikings are doing, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers, maybe he could turn some
Aaron
things
Rodgers,
around.
Aaron Rodgers, so you can never, Right. I mean, we're 9 games into the season. If Green Bay can decide to win out. They can all
exactly.
of a sudden smell the coffee, and they can decide to win out. So they're never – with Aaron Rodgers as that quarterback, you just never can sleep on them. Of course, you know, I don't want to get my hopes up high because, again, I'm coming to you guys as Ashley. But, again, I am a diehard, you know, Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, I would definitely – believe that they will come out of, you know, the NFC. I know you mentioned a couple of other teams in the AFC. I feel, despite, I believe, they're 4-5 now, they came in 4-4, 4-5, they could win out as well for the rest of the year. I can't sleep on Pittsburgh. You know, initially, Pittsburgh was my pick to come out of the AFC based on what they did last year. Their defense is just not what you expect a Steelers defense to be, but their offense can be really high powered. And I believe there's a possibility we are having a different conversation for last season's AFC outcome. Had I think Le'Veon was out last year, I think Le'Veon was out. I'm not sure. So it may have been Antonio Brown. We are having a different conversation if that entire Steelers team is healthy last year, because they were unstoppable. I truly believe that they would have made it to the Super Bowl last season if they were healthy. So I can't sleep on Pittsburgh either, you know. So I definitely wanted to throw that out there. But if I had it my way, if my thought process was correct, it would be the Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys in Super Bowl 51.
Yeah, and another team that we didn't mention, another Beltway area team that we didn't really mention in the AFC, are the Ravens. Right now they stand atop of their division, and they actually will face off against Dallas this coming Sunday. So
I'm that defense is looking great, but
I mean, the offense is, I mean, I don't know.
I've never been sold on Joe Flacco for some reason.
I mean, I'm wacko like Flacco. I mean, he used to be something.
I have never been completely sold on Joe Flacco. So, I mean, the back of my mind, I wanted to throw the Ravens out there. But he is just, to me, he's a mediocre. He's not as elite as Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger is. And that's just.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's just
he's
the case.
He's definitely not in that conversation. But, you know, as mentioned, just looking ahead to the Cowboys schedule real quickly, the Cowboys do not have a cakewalk by no means to close out the season. As we just said, they do host both of the Beltway teams. They host the Ravens this Sunday and the Redskins on Thursday. Then they go up to Minneapolis to face against the Vikings, and you go to New York to see the Giants. They should have an okay win against the Buccaneers when they play them on the 18th of December. And then they close out the season playing against Detroit at home, and then they play against Philadelphia in a nice little rivalry game
in
Philly on the first of the month and the first of the year. So, in my – again, for me – again, I'm so on the Dallas Cowboys. Again, with any sport, you always have to throw that asterisk out there, barring any injuries. You know, God forbid anything happened with, you know, Dak Prescott, anybody on that team. But, you know, again, regardless of what happens, I think if you are a Cowboys fan, and this is just, you know, me saying, I didn't grow up like you actually as a Cowboys fan, so I'll just say this. I think regardless, I think you have to be very proud of the future of this team, whether it's what happens for the remainder of the season going into postseason or just looking a year or two down the road. You have to be happy with what you got in Dak Prescott, because, again, nobody expected him to be this impactful so soon. Not saying that Dak couldn't be this elite down the line, but nobody expected it to happen right out the gate, right? We saw what he did in preseason. We saw, you know, what he did now, did it with Ezekiel Elliott, obviously. Like you said, that bus does not drive without Ezekiel Elliott, and I agree with
yeah.
you there. So, hey, you got to be proud. You got to be very proud to be a Cowboys fan. And I'm sure everybody, you know, feel the same way as you do. And the Cowboys fan base is one of those fan bases, like you say, they have their expectations high, and then something bad happens. So I know everybody is kind of like on edge, like, man, this is a little too good to be true.
Right,
but,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Invest in it. I mean, this is really special. I mean, just as a fan of football in general, I don't care if you are an Eagles fan or if you are a Redskins fan, whatever. I'm sure you're looking down at Dallas and you're just saying, hey, I mean, this is something. This is something nice. You know, you
yeah.
look for those feel-good stories out of the NFL because we have so many other negative ones that come out. This is a pretty good feel-good story for the rookie duo. To even say that these two are even in the conversation for Rookie of the Year and possibly MVP, that right there is unprecedented. So
to say that, you know, that we be number one in the division, again, nobody expected this. This entire for the Dallas Cowboys to be 8-1, it's a shock me even, you know, speaking it when I speak it. It's,
yeah.
you know, just still kind of mind blowing. What I will say this year that I love not only about Dallas, that I'm actually pretty much loving about the entire division is this is a tough division.
Yeah.
I mean, last year we were all over the place. I think this division, until like down to the wire, was the division last year where you still didn't know who was going to go into the playoffs. Everybody still had a chance. Dallas went 4-12, and I honestly believe maybe up until week 11, Dallas still
yeah.
had a shot at getting into the playoffs. Like, so the NFC East has definitely changed for the better. The Redskins got their win at home against the Vikings yesterday. Again, we're not sure what's going on with the Vikings there. They have dropped the last four games,
yeah,
after starting off super hot at 5-0. Kirk Cousins went for 22 of 33 for 262 yards, and he had two touchdowns. DeSean Jackson did not play yesterday, and those boys stepped up. They stepped up. That defense stepped up against, you know, Sam Bradford, and I believe one of their the Vikings are just so banged up offensively. That offensive line is really banged up, and I believe another one of their players went out yesterday with a broken leg. So that's just more woes for the Vikings. But they got their win. Philadelphia happened to stop one of the, if not the highest powered offense in the league, and the Atlanta Falcons. They pulled off that game against the Falcons.
Yeah, we just completely disrespected Atlanta. We've been talking about NFC, and we didn't even mention Atlanta. They are like the only relevant team over there in the NFC South. So my fault, Atlanta. You're right about that. Yeah, yeah.
A-Town, listen, if you guys are listening, that's fine. And again, if you get this shade, I'm about to give you, catch it. That's fine.
Okay.
It is what it is. This is the same story with Atlanta every year. I cannot be sold until Atlanta starts to make a deep playoff push. It's the same thing every year. They start off hot.
To Ashley.
Listen, they start off hot. I'm just telling the fans something that they already know. They know this about their team. Same way the Dallas Cowboys fans, we know, in a sense, that we can be that accident waiting to happen. We do find ways to get in our own way sometimes. But this is
Absolutely.
The same story with the Atlanta Falcons, okay? They start off hot. You think they're doing something. Then they get these series of losses, and things just start to – they just start going in this downward spiral. Where I want to say Atlanta has lost their last 2 of 3, okay? So, again, as far as I'm concerned, the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in the NFC. There's nobody else right now in the conversation. The only team I will give, you know, a slight, you know, okay, they may be there. I can't ever dismiss the Seattle Seahawks because that defense. I just can never dismiss that. But, you know, Atlanta, no shade, but shade. The Giants play tonight. They play the Bengals. I'm not even going to get started on the Bengals, okay? This is a primetime game. This is a primetime in the lights, everybody watching you game. I expect Cincinnati to lose this game because they are in the limelight when it matters, and catch the shade, they are choke artists in the limelight when it's that's how they are, that's how they do. So with that being said, I expect every team in the NFC East by the end of tonight to have won their game this week. And I can't remember the last time that happened. Every team would have won their game. Again, if the Giants pull off that game against Cincinnati tonight on Monday Night Football. So this is a segment in the show that I am very proud to announce. I want to give out my own special award. It's called the AMVP, and that's Ash MVP Award, for who gets the MVP for the game yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys versus the Steelers, and that phenomenal win. I am going to have to give my MVP award to Ezekiel Elliott.
That's such a shocker,
everybody, right? Woo!
Right.
We didn't know you were going there, Ashley. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with Zeke. I'm going with Zeke. Do you agree? Do you think Zeke gets AMVP from last night? Yesterday?
JMVP voted for Dak Prescott. I mean, this. So the audience can know. I want to tell them a funny story. When we got in the meeting room and decided to have this show launched, this was the first idea Ashley came up with. She has been eager to give you all this award. This was the first. We were sitting there in the boardroom like, really? You've been ready to give out this award.
You gotta be quick.
Shout out. I agree. You'd be foolish if you didn't give it to Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, despite the fact that only this is what I would say. I would slightly give Dak Prescott a little advantage over Zeke in last night game when they were down. I believe the score was I can't recall the score, but they were down to Pittsburgh by, I think, 4, if I'm not mistaken. And Dak Prescott, the way he was so determined and focused, and he led that team
very
down
poised.
The field.
Very poised.
Very calm, very cool, very collective. Just you didn't see he didn't fumble the ball. He didn't have butterfingers. Like, you can just see it in his eyes. He had tunnel vision, and he set up he set them up to win that game. So in my personal opinion, I think that's why I would give him the JMVP, even though that award does not exist. Only the AMVP does. But I can't really dispute. I can't. It's the same conversation that we had earlier with the Rookie of the Year and the MVP. It's one of those things where it's like you can't really go wrong either way. It's really just depending on what you like, what you have a taste for. You know, and you really can't go wrong with giving Zeke that award. Yeah, so.
Zeke had 83-yard screen pass.
Woo!
83-yard screen pass. You know, and he's eating. You feed him. You just feed him. You can just keep feeding him. And, you know, that burst through for 14 yards. I kind of felt like Pittsburgh just kind of let them, you know, kind of let him just go with that, because at that point, if you just stop that play, that touchdown he had before the final touchdown, if you stop that play, you just allow Dallas to eat more time off the clock. So they stopped, you know, in a sense, I believe that the Steelers kind of just let him go for that 14-yard touchdown so they could, you know, still have that 151 they had on the clock, which, you know, worked out in their favor, you know, because they ended up, you know. Let me say something. That fake spike that Ben Wallace, first of all, hilarious and genius. Can I just say, listen, if they had pulled off that win, I definitely would have, I mean, I was going to give props anyway, but that would have been like the highlight of the night, because that was pretty clutch. I mean, I just knew he was spiking it and everybody didn't know, and everybody knew as well, and he didn't. So that was pretty cool. But,
Let me say this real quick. Shout out to the Cowboys defense playing the mannequin challenge in the middle of the game.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
I saw that. Listen, I myself decided to join in on the mannequin challenge as well, because I was stuck. And then when I was waiting on a flag, I'm like, this isn't legal. And then I was like, well, it actually is. The man spiked it and threw it in. So my AMVP goes to Ezekiel Elliott. Josh cannot dispute that point, but he will give the slight edge to Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott. Yeah, I mean, oof, I mean, you, like, even when you mentioned that 83-yard screen pass, who threw the pass? Dakota Prescott. So it's one of those things.
That's
like,
true. That's true.
You can't have one without the other. So shout out to both of those guys again. And we'll get a chance to talk to them on Thanksgiving Day again. If people didn't hear us, Fox Sports 1340 AM, we will be live in Dallas, Texas, Arlington, to be technical, at the Star, AT&T.
AB and JB,
we will
be there. We are in Jerry World.
We are in Jerry World. Yes, it's going to be live in North Texas.
Josh.
I'm excited. What's up? What's up?
We have come to the end of our show.
This is a great show. We got to do this more often.
Yes, I really hope you guys enjoyed the show. So our schedule is going to be, the show is going to be the day after every Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Dallas has a couple of back-to-back Thursday night games, the Thanksgiving game, and then right after that, it's another Thursday game. So that, for those games, our show is going to be Friday night at 8.
Exactly.
So we don't want to tell you guys every Monday, because there are a couple of times where it's not going to be every Monday. Other than that, though, it will be, Monday night when we do the show. So
one quick note before we go, Ashley, and I'll let you wrap up. Just for real, fans, definitely send us, shout us out, talk to us on Twitter. We got the hashtag going, Cowboy Zone. Talk to us, because this show, what we want to make different versus other shows that you may listen to, we definitely want to be as interactive as we possibly can be.
Yep.
Like, we will be there tailgating with the fans.
Yep.
On Thanksgiving Day, I hope somebody makes some good food too, because you know we're missing time out with the family to bring you guys this coverage. So for sure, definitely, you know, reach out to us, talk to us. I'll give out my Twitter real quick. It's the Josh A. Vinson. Ashley, shout out to our Twitter and Fox Sports Twitter as well. Talk to us, because we want to make this as interactive as we possibly can, giving you guys the best coverage in the Mid-Atlantic of the Dallas Cowboys for Cowboys Nation.
Yes, sir. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, it's AshleyBaker_21. And I am there religiously talking, for the most part, all things Cowboys. And I'm pretty sure the people on my timeline be pissed, because that's really all I talk is all things Cowboys. So we are wrapping up here, everybody. We are signing off. Thank you guys so much for, again, tuning in to Cowboy Zone. And Josh, again, like you said, we got to do this more often.
For sure, for sure. Hey, we'll be live in Dallas. We'll do this again Monday night, coming up this coming Monday, as the Dallas Cowboys will take on the Baltimore Ravens down at AT&T Stadium. We will have the show, as you mentioned, the very next day. We'll actually have a couple of shows that week, because then they play again on Thursday. So stay tuned. Again, send your questions. Follow us on Twitter, Fox Sports 1340 AM. That's where you can find us. Again, Fox Sports 1340 AM, the Mid-Atlantic's number one source for all things Dallas Cowboys. I'm Josh Vincent.
I am Ashley Baker. And yes, yes, and we will definitely talk to you guys soon.